The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Guardian cards in the revised core set. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an auto fail. And the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that are good in one particular Investigator, or cards that you build around, receive a Bless token. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our review of the Guardian cards in the revised core set. We are going to kick things off with Guard Dog. It is a 3-cost asset with a combat skill icon, the ally and creature traits. As a response, when an enemy attack deals damage to Guard Dog, deal 1 damage to the attacking enemy. Guard Dog has 3 health and 1 sanity, and it takes up the ally slot. What do you guys think about everyone's favorite puppy?
I have always really liked Guard Dog. I tend to be a very aggressive player in card games, and Guard Dog really facilitates that. You know, you can take attacks of opportunity to play an asset. Like, say you're engaged with a swarm of rats, you play your machete, and then the Guard Dog takes the hit and then kills the rats, and then you can continue on with your game plan pretty much unimpeded. And Guard Dog is great for facilitating stuff like that. It's also really nice against Retaliate. When you ultimately end up fighting against the Ghoul Priest, the Guard Dog is an ally you may want to have on your side.
Any effect that deals actionless damage that doesn't require you to spend an action to deal the damage is pretty good. And Guard Dog is one of these. And like you said, that's like the perfect situation where you have your Guard Dog out and that swarm of rats, you don't even spend any time dealing with them. You just let Fido deal with the rats and you just continue on your way. And that's what Guard Dog is really good for. I don't think Guard Dog does well as like your primary ally because it doesn't boost you all that much, but it's useful as for physical soak and to deal actionless damage.
Yeah, the ability to keep on trucking while the Guard Dog handles things like rats is really enables you to just keep your pace up, which of course is important when the game is a race. There is an upgrade of Guard Dog in the works. It was created at one of the Arkham Horror events that was hosted, I believe, in 2020 when the event was canceled. They did it online, and the community got together and created an upgrade for Guard Dog. Does anybody happen to know what it does?
I don't remember.
If I remember correctly, it's either level 2 or 3. I think it's level 3. But the key thing that one does, the upgraded version, if we ever see it, the intention is that as a free action, you could engage something. But as a result, that thing would then attack the Guard Dog, which would mean that the Guard Dog would get to bite back. So, interesting. Free engage actions.
Yeah, I think the biggest strike against the Guard Dog compared to the Beat Cop is that lack of a passive skill boost. And I think Roland really, really wants that. Between that and his gun, he pushes himself up to a 6. That's going to hit an awful lot of enemies in this game, and you really need that toward the end of even a scenario like the Gathering. I believe the Ghoul Priest has 5 fight? So you really need as many boosts as you can. The other issue with the Guard Dog is that Roland isn't much of a tank, because he can't really tank the horror. The Guard Dog can tank the damage, but if you get hit by an enemy that deals damage and horror, Roland would have to take the horror. And with only 5 sanity, he's not going to be willing to do that all that often. I think Skids is actually probably a better choice for the Guard Dog, simply because he is an investigator who just wants to move as fast as possible and keep mobile. And so the ability of the Guard Dog to take out things like rats and then maybe ping some of the bigger enemies, and then Skids also has slightly more sanity than Roland, so if he does get in a situation where he needs to take the horror, he isn't suddenly on death's doorstep. How would you rate this one?
I'm debating on a 0 and plus one. It's somewhere in that range. It's a solid backup ally for Roland. You know, like we were saying, it promotes that aggressive playstyle that you can take advantage of in a solo format. But in multiplayer, I think it loses a little bit of stock because I do think that you need that static boost from Beat Cop more often than not, because you're going to be taking a lot more tests in multiplayer, and that skill boost was really going to help you out there. But in skids, it's actually really good because you can spend two resources and get your free action, then put this down, and then you have the guard dog sort of ready to go when you need to be able to, like, put your machete down and take that rat out and continue on with your turn.
Yeah, I agree that I think the guard dog's actually a bit better in skids, at least in the figurative skids that we illustrated in the skids review, who doesn't want to be making all the combat tests, only the ones that really matter. So that means skids isn't totally leaning on the beat cops plus one combat like Roland is. So I think if you ran guard dog and Roland, I think it'd be more like, never, like, no, don't run guard dog over beat cop and Roland, I would say, because Roland's, he makes combat tests, that's how he lives and dies, that's how he triggers his special ability, and guard dog does not help him with those. So I'd rate the guard dog a zero, because, you know, it's a fine ally. It's good as, like, a secondary, like your third and maybe fourth ally slot, but not your primary.
Yeah, I think that the guard dog is kind of in an interesting, and I guess an awkward position in the allies, among the allies in the core set, because you've got, on one hand, you've got the beat cop and guardian, who is clearly better for an investigator like Roland. And then in the rogue card pool, you've got Leo DeLuca, who is an absolute monster in the rogue card pool. And if you compare the guard dog to either of those, he comes up a little short. He doesn't have offer the passive boost that the beat cop does, and he certainly does not offer an extra action like Leo does. So I think a zero is a good spot for the guard dog. I'm not that disappointed when I see him, because he's at three resources, he's reasonable, and he does have a fair amount of soak, and you can dish out damage against the smaller enemies with him. And then he can, as the scenario goes on, and if you expect to face, you know, the big bad at the end of the scenario, the guard dog is usually dead at that point, and so you can play a beat cop and then prepare for the final battle. The next card that we are going to look at is Evidence. It is a one cost event with two intellect skill icons. It has the insight trait. It is fast. Play after you defeat an enemy. Discover one clue at your location.
It's Roland's triggered ability on a stick, essentially. I think I've said ad nauseum in our reviews at this point that really any card with two matching skill icons is worth looking at the very least. And Evidence is a really solid card in Guardian.
Yeah, Guardians like defeating enemies. Roland really likes defeating enemies. And Evidence gives you helps you complete the scenario when you defeat enemies. It's pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah. The ability just to discover a clue and piggyback that on defeating an enemy is great. It generates that action advantage that you're always looking for. If Roland is at a two shroud location with two clues, he can, between his ability and this, he can soak up those clues pretty easily. It's nice that Roland and Skids both have enough health that if there is a clue on the table and you have a fairly low damage enemy on you, you can drag that enemy over to that location, kill it, and then trigger either Roland's ability or the evidence to pick up that clue. And then if enemies happen to be scarce, those two intellect skill icons are absolutely awesome, because discovering clues is the name of the game in Arkham Horror, and so bumping Roland and Skids up to a five, that's going to do you pretty well at all but the highest shroud locations in the game. How would you guys rate this one?
I think for me, this is a very solid plus one. This card really holds up, again, the test of time. A lot of these core set cards, I think, hold up pretty well, and Evidence is certainly no exception to that rule.
Yeah, I'd also give it a plus one because if you're playing a Guardian, evidence is you want to help the team and you want to be able to actually complete the scenario. And evidence is going to help you do that. And it's going to help you doing that by doing your enemy management already. The only thing about evidence is that it's sometimes hard to line up an evidence with an enemy on your location on a location where that has clues and has a shroud where it's really worth burning evidence. So it's not as solid as working a hunch and rolling, because working a hunch just gets it done. But it's still like, as a guardian, like the more Tesla's clue effects you can pack into your deck, like the better, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this is more of a skids card because it's pretty redundant in Roland, because Roland is probably realistically only going to defeat one enemy a turn. And while you could essentially grab two clues from defeating one enemy, I don't often see that happening, especially if you pair him with Daisy. Daisy is probably just going to hoover up all the clues before Roland even really gets much of a chance to do any real major investigating, but two intellect icons, it's solid.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It does evidence does have some nuance to it as to whether it's solid. I mean, like it's no working a hunch, because working a hunch is just so universal. It just does the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be willing to give this one a plus one as well. It is very strong, the ability to grab that clue. I don't think it holds up as well once your card pool expands, though, because one of the things that has happened over the years is that Guardians have received a lot of cards that allow them to grab Teslas clues, and I find that with the release of a card like Scene of the Crime, Evidence is making the cut a lot less in my Guardian decks, just because Scene of the Crime does basically the same thing, and you don't need an enemy. It's better if you have an enemy, but you don't need that enemy, which can often be. I know I've often ended up in situations where I've got evidence in my hand and no enemy in sight, and it's like, man, I want, this is really annoying me because I'm going to hang on to this in hopes of an enemy coming, and then eventually it's just like, nah, screw it. I'm just going to throw this to an investigate.
Yeah, I think that evidence does lose quite a bit of stock in solo as well, because generally, like you said, you're usually like moving to a location, investigating, and then doing some other action, whether it's moving again or drawing a card or something like that. So evidence can kind of be difficult unless you happen to move as your last action and end up on a location with clues, or you somehow fail a bunch of investigates or something like that, which I don't think is realistically going to happen a lot of the time. You draw a fresh enemy off the encounter deck, and then you defeat it and get the clue, and you can continue moving forward. It's good in those circumstances, but like you said, Man from Lang, there are often times where you're sort of just waiting around for an enemy to show up so that you can play evidence.
Yeah, this one's got some nuance.
Yeah, I think that's a you make a really good point there, Nate, that I think if you are playing either Roland, especially Roland, but also Skids, if you do have that evidence, you really want to positioning is very important. You want to position yourself at the end of your turn on a location that has a clue, just in case you do draw that enemy, and then you can kill it and grab that clue on the next turn, because there's no worse feeling than when you've got that evidence in your hand and then realize, oh, I've already grabbed the clue off this location, and my evidence is not going to help me in this particular circumstance. So if you're paying attention to your positioning on the board, then you're going to get a lot of value out of evidence. If you're sort of just casually wandering around and not really concerned about where you are, so you can take advantage of it, you're often going to end up pitching this for the two skill icons, which are still good, but clues are often better.
Yeah, and one other thing to note too is that the game does kind of teach you to not move as your last action, as a lot of locations have a when revealed effect, whether it spawns an enemy engaged with you when you enter the location, or it deals you a damage or a horror. The game tries to teach you to move, then do things, and not do things, then move. So evidence sort of is counterintuitive to that playstyle.
Another thing about evidence is that it definitely is helpful when you're staring down the barrel of a cover-up. You want as many clues as you can get. Well, you don't,
True.
a lot of as many clue discoveries as you can get.
That's
usually
right.
in cover up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
between
It's a
Roland's
nuanced card.
ability, between Roland's ability and this, that's two clues off cover up. That takes a lot of pressure off, especially if you happen to draw a cover up late and you're don't have a ton of time to clear it. The next card is Dodge. It's a one cost event that has a willpower and agility skill icon. It has the tactic trait. It is fast, and when you may play it when an enemy attacks any investigator at your location, you may cancel that attack.
When I first started playing Arkham, I really liked Dodge, sort of in the same vein as Guard Dog, as I tend to play very aggressively, and Dodge is another card that facilitates that style because you can use it proactively to dodge attacks of opportunity. You can use it proactively to, say, move into a location with an enemy at the end of the round or something, and then dodge the attack during enemy phase. It is nice in those situations, but in solo especially, I think oftentimes you're just killing the enemy outright before it even gets the chance to attack you. So dodge doesn't really help you out in those circumstances, and it also doesn't have two matching skill icons like evidence, so.
Yeah, it's true. Dodge, like it's not bad. I think it's a fine card. It's one of those things where often if you had a vicious blow instead of dodge, you could just defeat the enemy instead of ha it sticking around to be dodged. One thing that is nice about dodge though is that you can save someone's butt because you can use it on to help out investigators at your location. So that bit is nice. But still, I see what you mean. As time goes on, you kind of need to lean on dodge less and less. That being said, it's fast, so it's not an asset. It doesn't take a lot of re it doesn't take a lot of resources and a lot of time to make use of. So there, it does have that going for it.
Yeah, I think the one of the biggest advantages of Dodge is that it is a good way to deal with the retaliate keyword, and the Ghoul Priest does have retaliate. So if you do swing and miss, if you've got Dodge in your back pocket, it's nice to be able to cancel that attack. Or if you get terribly unlucky when you're fighting, and say you end up fighting a 4 health enemy, and you hit the first time and miss the next 2 times, suddenly you're taking an attack that you weren't expecting, and you can prevent it. You can play it against, to prevent attacks against other investigators at your location. I'm not too sure how often that happens, considering, most guardians worth their salt will already have engaged those enemies and dealt with them. It's very rare that your seekers or other soft, squishy investigators will be taking those attacks. I think it's worth noting here that the tactic trait does become more relevant as your card pool grows. So you once you pick up a card like Stick to the Plan from the Black Stars Rise Mythos pack that allows you to stack tactic cards on it, that tactic trait is more relevant. It's also worth noting that there is a level 2 upgrade for Dodge in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. That is an interesting option for skids, since it allows you to deal a damage when you dodge, and I think this card facilitates skids' sort of fast and loose play style, where it's like, okay, I'm just going to move. I'm not going to care if the enemy attacks me because I'll just dodge it. And if you were to upgrade to the level 2 version, you're dodging and then dealing a damage. So maybe between upgraded Dodge and Guard Dog, maybe there's something there that you can explore once your card pool expands. How would you rate this one?
Then the core set, I'd probably give it a 0. It's fine enough, and there are times where maybe you don't kill the Ghoul Priest in a single turn, and it attacks Daisy, and you save Daisy's life with it. But I think apart from circumstances like that, you'll play it when you need to, like, get a weapon down, and it sort of fills a niche every once in a while, but it's not a card ooh, I'm gonna build my deck around Dodge.
Yeah, I'd say it's a 0 as well because it's fine. It's not particularly excellent. It's not terrible. It's a fine card.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a 0. It's nice to have when you get attacked, but unless that enemy is dealing a lot of horror, Roland he has so much health that taking an attack is generally okay. It is nice to have against retaliate in situations like that. I should clarify just the level 2 upgrade for dodge. I did say it was good for skids, and that is largely because it does require you to make an agility skill test in order to deal that damage, which, of course, Roland is not going to be doing that very consistently. So it's if you are upgrading dodge, you're probably playing skids and not Roland. But yeah, it's a fine card. It's a card that you'd have in your deck. You'll be happy when you need it. And if not, you commit it to that Rotting Remains or Crypt Chill and hope for the best. The next card in the box is, I think it's one of Matastrophic's favorites. This is Dynamite Blast. 5 cost event with a willpower skill icon. Tactic trait again. Choose either your location or a connecting location. Deal 3 damage to each enemy and to each investigator at the chosen location. Interesting to note, I don't think I have ever played this card.
What?
What?
Because you're a solo player. That's why.
Even in solo, this card is a lifesaver in certain scenarios.
That's why this card is so good. It saves your butt. It like turns around a losing board into like a winning board because you can set up some big explosions. You can get like a zillion actions worth of effort done just by playing Dynamite Blast. The only problem is when you take a whole bunch of attacks of opportunity, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully there's an upgraded version that you can get if you expand your card pool, but man, even just reading this card initially, when you open the box for the first time, you're going to be like, I want to play this card.
Yeah, this is one of those cards that like makes you feel good to be a Guardian. You know, it's like, this is Guardians getting things done. You know, I mean, it costs 5. It's huge, but you can get a lot done with this. Also, fun trick, if you're Roland, you can blow up something at an adjacent location and discover a clue at your location.
There you go. Oh, that's cool.
Some pro play there.
And
yeah, that's what separates the men from the boys.
I mean, it's just like you said, it's a really solid card. And for anyone that's an off-class Guardian, you just have this in your back pocket all the time. And like you said, it just gets so much work done if you're able to set it up properly.
Yeah, and it's also, we were talking earlier about playing from behind. Dynamite Blast can just save your butt, like the whole team's butts. When things are getting really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, there are cards in the revised core set that are sort of behave as silver bullets for some of the scenarios in the revised core. And I think Dynamite Blast is one of those for the third scenario in particular. I'm not going to spoil it here, but there are certain situations in that third scenario where a Dynamite Blast can do an awful lot of work, especially if you had a rough time in the second scenario, which is often the case for new players. We've already mentioned some of the downsides of Dynamite Blast, those being, especially for me, that 5 resource cost. That is an awful lot for a Guardian to shell out. So this is you're probably going to play this in the late game. Not necessarily early. And as Matastrophic mentioned, it does provoke attacks of opportunity. So while you are dealing damage to enemies, you will be taking attacks of opportunity. And considering if you're setting this off at your location, there's probably a lot of enemies you want to kill, and they will all get a chance to kill you first. So best to try to get out of there and nuke that site from afar with Dynamite Blast. Nate, you mentioned that there is an upgrade. There are actually 2 upgrades now. We've got the level 2 upgrade in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot box, and then the level 3 upgrade in the Nathaniel Cho starter deck. If you're rolling and you've got health to spare, if you're using one of the upgraded Dynamite Blasts, you can just set it off at your location and not worry about being attacked first. So how would you rate the Dynamite Blast?
So you did open up by saying that it apparently is one of my favorite cards, and I do love it, but it is expensive, and you do provoke attacks of opportunity using it. So I'd give it a +1. It's not an Elder Sign, because, you know, you're not shielded from your own blast, but it's still a +1, because it makes you feel good to be a Guardian, and it can really save the team.
Yeah, I want to give it a, like, plus 0.2. 5, just because it's not a card you would play two of. It's a very solid one of in a deck, because like you said, it's expensive, it's fairly niche in its effect. Like you sort of plan turns around launching Dynamite Blast rather than it being something like your 45 automatic that you want to get down as soon as possible and get that thing going. But Dynamite Blast doesn't have that same aspect to it.
I think I would settle on a 0 for this one. I realize that it is extremely good, and it does, there are certain scenarios in the game where a well-timed Dynamite Blast can make your life a whole lot easier. I think I'd probably give it a 0 simply because if I drew my opening hand, I would be unhappy to see this card. It does have one willpower skill icon. Like, if it had two willpower skill icons, I'd be all in on this thing. But just that one willpower skill icon and the cost to me really... the cost is hard to swallow. 5 resources is a lot. And I've done pretty well in the game without ever having to Dynamite Blast anything. So, yeah, I think I'd settle on a 0. Matt is giving me dirty looks.
No. Actually, what I didn't want to mention was, like Dynamite Blast, you mentioned the stick to the plan permanent earlier. Dynamite Blast is like your ideal stick to the plan target, because it sits there for when you need it. You never draw it in the opening hand. You never draw it instead of something you really want. But it's always there, waiting for that one time per game when you really, really need it, and it saves the party.
The final card that we're going to look at is Vicious Blow. It has it is a skill with one combat skill icon practiced. If this skill test is successful during an attack, that attack deals +1 damage. Cards that give bonus damage are exceedingly rare. This is a 2 of in... pretty much every Guardian deck under the sun. Practice trait becomes more relevant as the card pool expands, of course. In particular, Practice Makes Perfect from the Dark Side of the Moon Mythos pack. And there's a level 2 upgrade if you want to do even more damage that is in the Lost in Time and Space pack. Or you can wait for the Dunwich Legacy Investigator expansion, which will be coming out in the new year.
Yeah, there really isn't much to say about this card. It's an absolute staple in any combat-oriented Guardian deck, or even any combat-oriented off-class Guardian deck, because most off-class Guardians can also take the level 2 version, which is just gravy. I mean, this is such a good card.
Yeah, just the fact that... So this is the answer to that scenario we were talking about all the way back when we were talking about 45 automatic. This is how you deal with 3 health enemies, is you shoot your 45 automatic and you play Vicious Blow and you deal 3 damage. So in that regard, it's boosting your combat test, it's saving you an action because that's another damage you don't have to do, and even more importantly, it's saving you from having to make another successful combat test in order to deal that 3rd damage and get that enemy off the board. And as you've been saying, Mr. Lang, throughout this this whole series, is that the game kind of becomes a race. So Vicious Blow is like a nice little warp speed thingy, you know, in order to get you forward in the race. And that makes it like an absolute staple.
Yeah, and it saves you the ammo, which is huge. Because that's an additional 2 damage you can do later down the road. Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt that this one is this one's an Elder Sign for me.
Well, without question. And like without you said, question. This card gets better as you expand your card pool, not worse. It only gets better. So just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, as the card pool has expanded, 3 health enemies have become a lot more common. And so having Vicious Blow at your side is very nice indeed. The ability to take down enemies quicker means the chance that you get a bad pull from the chaos bag and they attack you, you just get to kill them faster. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, this is a quintessential Guardian card.
That's going to do it for our look at the second group of cards in the Guardian card pool, mostly events and skills this time around with the Guard Dog on top. Any final thoughts?
The only thing I wish the revised core set did was print more copies of Vicious Blow.
Two for Roland and two for Skids? I approve.
Yeah, a lot of the events in this in the revised core set are pretty solid, and I think they make the cut in they still make the cut in a number of Guardian decks going forward. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your other sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.